Hello, this is Christy Kalavig, host of Vital Connections On Air. We have been experiencing some really difficult things in the last few months, and we know that there are more challenges ahead. At the Center for Community Vitality, we have been working to bring topics and partners together through webinars and articles since the end of March to get you the information that you need. Now I'm going back to those educators and asking them for updates and insights on what we should be doing in our current context. I'm sharing small parts from these long conversations over the next several weeks so that we can listen, reconnect with ideas, and hopefully take the next small steps. Here's part of my conversation with Denise Strummy and Lori Rothstein as we reflect on their April 7th webinar, focusing on what you can choose, the art of calming the overwhelm. The two of you led a webinar for us that was entitled Focusing on What You Can Choose, Calming the Overwhelm. And, you know, I still feel like today my mind is just overwhelmed. Is that just me, or is that just what the world is right now?
Yeah, I think there's a lot, you know, I think I hear that a lot from a lot of people, that there's just there's a lot going on, things are changing, but yet, you know, they still feel overwhelmed. I think for me too, I feel it. It may feel a little bit different than it did really like the 11 weeks ago or wherever we are at from this. But I think it's some of that uncertainty that we're still in and still trying to figure out what life looks like.
And I would say too that life usually is uncertain, right? And so the fact that it's just been notched up a few more degrees is making things even harder, because we always have that need to make choices and decisions. But when our brains are stressed and our minds aren't calm, it just makes it that much harder.
Can you guys talk a little bit about what stress is doing to our brains?
Yeah, so, you know, stress is really our brain's response to any stimulus, right? So it's not just a negative thing, and often we associate stress as a negative, but it's our body's way of saying, hey, something's up, something's changing, something's different, something's happening, wake up, pay attention. And so it's this, but it's when there's a lot of it and when we're less able to navigate it, that it can feel kind of like a heavy or a more negative stress that's happening. But basically what's happening then is something comes in, we have a response, our brain is picking up a signal around something around us. Maybe it was a sound that just happened or an experience we just had. And that's coming into our brains through our amygdala, right? So that's kind of the area in our brain where we process our emotions. And that sends a signal to other parts of our brain called the hypothalamus, for example, that is kind of the control center and says, hey, what should we do about this? What should we do about this noise that happened? Is it something I can just let go? Or is it something that I should really respond to? So it begins to communicate with the rest of our body. And you maybe notice that where like you'll hear something and something happens and you can feel your whole body tensing, or you can feel maybe it's that sweaty palms or something in your gut happening, right? So it's sending signals throughout, not just our brain, but our whole body, trying to figure out, should we stick around? Should we take off? Should we do something differently? So that's kind of what the stress comes into, our amygdala is happening. But what we want to do is be able to get to the part of our brain that's kind of the more thinking part of our brain, that's called the prefrontal cortex. And that allows us to have a more rational response and to make a decision around something, so we can not just be in our emotions, but be more controller and more in that thought center of our brain.
I don't know if it's ever going to get to my prefrontal cortex. I just don't feel like we're getting there.
And I think that's one reason why we talk about a calm mind, right? That it's not all in the thought processing and it's not all in the emotions, but it's a calm, nice relationship between the two. If we were always in our prefrontal cortex, we would continually be stressed also, because we'd be trying to do decision after decision after decision. And like Lori said, if we stay in our emotional, it affects our whole body. So if we can have a calm mind, and that's why often we talk about, you know, taking three deep breaths or doing a grounding meditation, just to get your mind a little bit more calm so it can react in a way that's more positive.
And I think I shared with you too that you reach those moments where you just feel like, okay, we've been in this long enough. My mind should be calm. I should have figured this out by now, which then probably just causes another whole stress response, right? But I mean, it's normal in times like this, where there is all of that uncertainty, that it's hard to calm our mind and move into some of that rational thought, right?
Well, and I think what you're bringing up right there is like this. I heard you just say a lot of shoulds. And so really what we're doing when we're getting that calm mind piece, or when we're able to access our whole brain and move into there, is we're able to rewire and start getting rid of those I shoulds feelings into more be like, this is where I am, and acknowledge the where we are, so we can take away some of that expectation around there. And so we can really be back in that choice of focusing on what can I choose? So we can remove those shoulds out of our conversation and those expectations around the parts that we don't have as much control, for example, for a really strong word, right? Control over. And so we can really just focus on the areas where we are able to focus and make a difference.
Right. And building on that too, is that we have control between a stimulus and a response. It's just that we don't always realize that we do. And so it's starting to understand that we have that control in that space. And what can that look like for us? Is it getting control of the emotions? Is it, working to encourage our best selves in that moment? How can we be better in that? And so, like Gloria said, if you can take away the shoulds and instead say what can, then that helps shift your thinking too. It makes it a bit easier to get into that decision-making mode and to realize that hard choices, Ruth Chang talks about this, that hard choices aren't a right or wrong choice. It's that when choices are on a par and there is no right or wrong choice. And so you have to base your decisions on something beyond right or wrong. And once you start to do that, you can start to forgive yourselves a little bit more about all those shoulds that are going around in your head.
And I think that's, you're talking about Ruth Chang's work and, you know, Christy, kind of I can't believe that I'm still in this, or like, I can't believe all these still are going around. It's like, because there has been this kind of whisper, maybe a tornado going around, a different pieces of swarming, of reinventing even what that looks like. And when we talk about the Ruth Chang's work, it's really around thinking, how do we then focus on our values? How do we focus on what matters? Because there are the right versus right kind of piece. And so for each of us, that might look a little bit different. And so those hard choices, what are some of those values that we want to stand out, so we can say, I don't really know, there's not something clear here, but I do know what my value is. And so that's that leading from inside out kind of piece, that what does that look like for me? And that might look different, or it may actually outwardly look some of the same, but the reasons behind that might be different because my values are a little bit different than Denise's are or than yours are.
I'm so glad you brought up the values, Lori, because what we've learned then is that when you are authentic, or you make your decisions based on the values that are true to you, you're more satisfied with the choices that you make. Because you can continually compare your choices and your options against everything that's out there, right? And you're never going to be satisfied because there's always something that's a little different and might trigger a different response in you. But if you can say, I am making this decision based on these values of who I am and who I want to be in this decision, you're going to be much more satisfied with the decisions that you make.
Yeah.
And then I feel like that should be stitched on a sampler or something and put up on the wall, because it's absolutely true. If you feel comfortable with the decisions that you're making and you know that it's helping you be the best that you can be, it just helps you to feel more calm and more grounded, I feel like.
Yeah, and it's in that the best you can be in the moment, right? So it's remembering that we're making these decisions and we're calming the overwhelm in the moment that we're in right now. So there's a lot of other things swirling, but where can I influence where I am? I can pause in that moment, that between the stimulus and the response, and think about, where am I right now? What's the decision I want to make right now with the values that I've kind of, who I am and how I lead and what I know, with what I know right now, right? And so that can give us that grounding piece of it.
Right.
Don't have to. I think one of the things that I have learned over the years is that we don't always have to have that long pause in every decision we have to make. And so instead, it's that idea of simplifying the decisions that you make every day. You know, eat the same thing for breakfast, wear the same shoes, simplify those decisions, because every time you have to take a pause between that, oh, what should I wear today, and then actually doing it, you're wasting your willpower, you're wasting energy, and it creates more stress, more and more responses. So if you can simplify your decisions, then you can spend really good brain time on those other decisions that really need a big pause.
That's really important too, to think about. You brought up willpower, right? So sometimes we like to think that like willpower is a characteristic, right? That it's like something we have or something we don't. But the fact is, we all have this like finite storage of mental energy, right? And that's really what Baumeister talked about, Roy Baumeister, and now one of his colleagues who's at the University of Minnesota, Kathleen Bose, that they did a lot, and even some, can't remember, it was like 20 years ago or a longer time ago, and then updated more recently in 2016, looking at willpower. And it's a misnomer to think that some of us have it and some of us don't, this kind of character flaw. And a lot of it's around that, it's just that we need to conserve it, that it's a finite piece. We can use it up. And so what Denise is talking about these, how can you simplify your decisions, or what can you take out of your life that you just don't have to decide today? Maybe it's the time you wake up or the time you go to bed, or, you know, the exactly what she's saying, what do I have for breakfast in the morning? That the more we can get through some of the harder points in life. So right now, what are those things that you can really take out some of the hard pieces? One, some of the things that really interest you around the willpower piece is that, you know, and it's recognizing that it's even more depleting for us to be in a time of uncertainty versus knowing that a bad outcome is going to happen. So being in the unknown piece is harder. So part of that as leaders is to help people think about, well, this is what I do know. So take away some of the, even if you're not sure the what, you can take away some of the communication of the how. This is when I am going to communicate. This is what I do know. So to kind of remove some of those barriers. So I've been seeing and hearing from people that the more communicative, or when people are clear about the pieces that they do know, it helps to just take out some of that other noise that is really interrupting our daily lives, that we don't need to know right now. It does not, you know, it's the pieces that we don't need to focus on.
And that leads in nicely to Jennifer Gutman's work. She's a clinical psychologist. When she says that the first step in building your self-confidence is to realize that you can't make a mistake in making your decision as long as you're trying to just be yourself, to be authentic with yourself.
Thank you to Lori Rothstein and Denise Strummy for this conversation. I look forward to sharing more from our chat with you in a future episode. Please visit the University of Minnesota Extension Center for Community Vitality webpage at extension.umn.edu/community-development, where you will find links to Lori and Denise's 2 for You series, as well as our April 7th webinar and resources to help calm the overwhelm. Make sure to follow us on Facebook and Twitter to stay up to date on new research and resources for communities and those who lead them. We hope that you will join us for our next episode of Vital Connections on Air. And please stay well.